This is Audible.
Morningwood. Everybody Loves Large Chests, Volume 1, by Nevin Ilyev. Narrated by Jeff Hayes. Prologue. A young man, closer to a boy than an adult, wandered down the dark tunnel. His boots scraped against the damp stone floor, echoing slightly throughout the passage. The lantern he was holding did its best to illuminate the cave-like walls, his shadow dancing ominously behind him. He had spent the better part of 2 hours in these tunnels, the so-called green zone of the Litigar dungeon complex. So far, he'd been lucky. With only a few bats and giant rats as his opponents, he was steadily on his way to level 5.
"Just a little more and I can graduate from this newbie area and move on to bigger and better things."
He picked up the pace after psyching himself up. The mere thought of leaving this gloomy place and finishing his dull quest was all the motivation he needed right now. Breaking into a light jog, he went deeper and deeper into the winding, maze-like cave system.
"Left, then right, then right, then left again. Wait, was that a triple right?"
Himmel stopped at a three-way intersection and looked around. It didn't take him long to realize he had gotten completely lost. He shone his lantern's light down the left tunnel, then the right one.
"Yep. No idea. Oh well. This is why they tell us to carry portal keys. I'm sure it'll work out."
The small, rune-inscribed stone would whisk him away to safety in an instant should the need arise. Although the usefulness of such a thing could not be understated, the complacency and carelessness it taught young adventurers was less than useful. Continuing down the right-hand path, the boy noticed a change in his surroundings. The uneven floor suddenly became flat. Although it was still bare rock, it felt like walking on polished marble rather than inside a cave. Peering into the darkness, he noticed something clearly out of place. Something brown and strangely rectangular.
"A chest! Lucky!"
A simple wooden box with no lock. The dungeon randomly spewed these out, sometimes containing useful items and gear that could be a veritable jackpot for an enterprising young adventurer. Not this one, though. The wooden chests in this dungeon offered the lowest grade of loot. Most of them contained bottom-tier potions or maybe moldy bread. The best he could hope to get out of this would be an iron ring that provided a negligible bonus to a random stat. Still, a newbie could not afford to pass up pennies on the ground. The adventurer approached the chest with a small spring in his step. He opened it with both arms and peered at it expectantly. However, what awaited him inside was neither a potion nor a piece of inedible bread. It was something much more impressive than that. Several sets of dagger-like teeth and a giant red tongue became visible as the monster, disguised as a chest, revealed its true nature. The fleshy tongue coiled around the young adventurer's waist and dragged him into the gaping maw before he could react. He was then unceremoniously eaten in 3 big bites. Level up! Congratulations. You are now a level 2 mimic. All attributes +2. Chapter 1. Death Comes in Many Forms. Part 1. After enjoying its first meal, the mimic let out a small burp and went back to pretending to be a treasure chest. It had spent the first 5 days of its life in this very spot, patiently waiting for a chance. Having fulfilled its purpose, it simply continued to sit there, slowly digesting its victim. Mimics were very good at imitating chests. Sight alone was insufficient to determine if this monster was the genuine article or not. After all, it looked exactly like a wooden box that was 80 centimeters long, 35 centimeters tall, and 40 centimeters on its side. Its skin was a light oak-like faux wood, with imitation steel reinforcing its corners and a half-cylinder lid that served as its upper jaw. However, it could not keep calm like before. Although sightless, it could still perceive everything in a 10-meter radius around it through magic. And what it saw left the simple monster with an odd sense of dissatisfaction. Its flat resting place was now a mess. The torn clothing, discarded sword, still-lit lantern, and several puddles of blood were a problem. Some part of it realized it would be bad to leave things as they were. Several dozen small, insect-like legs sprouted sideways from its bottom and lifted it a few centimeters off the ground. It then opened its mouth and let its huge red tongue fall out. It spent the next several minutes scuttling around the place, determined to erase any and all evidence that someone had died there. The blood was lapped up, and the scraps of fabric simply stuck to the wet tongue. The fleshy, tendril-like organ coiled itself around the lantern before swallowing it whole. When it attempted to pick up the iron sword in the same way, the mimic tightened its tongue a little too much around the blade and cut itself.
"Hiss!"
it exclaimed at the unexpected jolt of pain. It reflexively let go of the sword, which fell to the floor along with several drops of sticky yellow blood. You have suffered a shallow cut. HP minus 4. Another strange window popped up into its consciousness. Although it somehow understood the words, it lacked the brain capacity to process their meaning. Not that it had any intention of doing so right now. The sword was still a problem that needed to be dealt with. It approached the inanimate weapon warily, carefully observing it. It was a normal iron sword, completely mundane and entirely unmagical in every way conceivable. As expected of a beginner's equipment. Not that a level 2 monster had any idea what it actually was. The mimic recalled the way its breakfast had struggled a little while ago. The adventurer was holding onto the strange object without hurting himself. His fingers were wrapped around it, much like how the mimic attempted to do. The only difference was that the mimic had grabbed the pointy end by mistake. Realizing its blunder, the monster warily stretched out its tongue again. However, the fleshy organ was a bit too thick to properly grip onto the short handle. The creature briefly considered this fact before simply warping its wide tongue into a more tentacle-like shape. Mimics were, technically speaking, a species of shapeshifter. Granted, they were not as good at it as other monsters. Something like warping their tongue or sprouting small legs to move around was the extent of their ability. Now that its tongue was in the proper shape, the animated chest wrapped it around the handle of the sword. It picked it up safely and held it above itself. Its numerous legs moved in unison, rocking the chest-like body left and right like it was doing a little triumphant dance. The intelligence attribute has been created through a special action. Intelligence plus 1. Another mysterious window. It completely ruined the mood, causing the mimic to stop its little celebration. Still, it now vaguely understood the thing it was holding onto was a weapon. It moved it around by using its tongue in lieu of an arm. Brimming with curiosity, it swung the sword downwards onto the floor. Cling! The blade slammed into the stone floor, letting out a clear bell-like sound that echoed through the cave. There was a tiny crack in the floor, which didn't escape the mimic's notice.
"Hmm, did you hear that?"
The distant voice made the mimic freeze. It had gotten carried away with its new toy and attracted attention.
"Yeah, I definitely heard something. Come on, let's go check it out."
Another voice followed. Although it didn't understand the words, the mimic clearly recognized they were moving closer to its location. It quickly retreated back to its spot and sat down. However, there was a serious problem. It was still holding the sword with its tongue. It had serious doubts whether it should try to eat it, and there was nothing around that could be used as a hiding place. Not sure of how much time it had, the mimic did the only thing its tiny mind could think of. Part 2. Two sets of footsteps approached from one of the tunnels. The mimic followed its instincts and stood perfectly still, lying in wait. A man and a woman entered its perception range. The blonde man was holding a sword and a lantern, wearing similar clothes to the monster's first victim. The brown-haired woman wore a plain white robe and held a wooden staff with one hand.
"Oh, a chest!"
the man exclaimed. He approached the mimic with a rather carefree gait.
"Hold on, Ron! It could be a trap!"
The woman grabbed onto her companion's collar while warning him of danger.
"A trap? Come on, Gloria. It's a box. What's the worst that could happen?"
The rumor said something about mimics appearing in this dungeon recently. Monsters that look like chests? You can't be careless.
Wait, this place is supposed to have only bats and rats, right? How come there's mimics all of a sudden?
I don't know, but shouldn't we be careful? Our lives are on the line, you know.
Gloria's green eyes darted between her brother and the chest. While new types of monsters appearing in a dungeon was not unheard of, it was still quite rare. The cause of such changes was unconfirmed, although the likely culprit was the appearance of a new dungeon master.
All right, sis. Tell you what. Your big brother's going to stab the big mean box just to be sure, okay?
Ron reassuringly patted Gloria's head.
Don't patronize me like that. We're not kids anymore.
Fine, fine. I was just kidding, sheesh.
The mimic had no idea what was going on right now. Its new prey had shown up and stood idly by instead of going straight for the prize like the first one. It heard the voices and saw the faces, but understanding what these people were saying and doing was impossible. Then the slightly plumper one started approaching again. However, this time something was off. The man was holding a sword, something the mimic already recognized as dangerous. And this sword was not hanging idly by the adventurer's side, but was held squarely in front. The mimic instinctively understood that its prey had grown suspicious, and suspicion was a shapeshifter's worst enemy. Ron approached closer and closer. Once he got within striking distance of the chest, he slowly lifted his sword arm up in preparation to slash at the wooden box. Worst-case scenario, he blunted the blade a bit. Best-case scenario, he avoided a deadly trap. Even if a fight broke out, he was confident his swordplay could handle the weaklings in this cave. The mimic, on the other hand, had extremely limited knowledge of sword fighting. It knew exactly two things about the subject. The pointy bit hurts, and swinging it downward can break rocks. Both of those tidbits made it realize just what was about to happen. It felt cornered, and like any cornered beast, it lashed out. Just as Ron was about to perform an overhead strike, the wooden chest before him sprang open, and amidst the rows of serrated white teeth and the undulating fleshy tongue, there was a flash of something shiny, followed by a piercing pain in his abdomen. He screamed at the top of his lungs. The mimic had stabbed him clear through the stomach. The mimic was a monster that survived on deception. It instinctively knew leaving evidence behind was bad, that it had to appear as unassuming and unspoiled as possible. But eating this weapon was dangerous, possibly lethal. So with nowhere else to put it, the monster ended up hiding it in its mouth cavity while gripping onto the handle with the tip of its tongue. And now, those trustworthy instincts caused it to lash out and land a devastating blow on its unsuspecting victim. The strength attribute has been created through a special action. Strength plus one. The wisdom attribute has been created through a special action. Wisdom plus one. Proficiency level increased. Sword mastery is now level one. Strength plus two. Dexterity plus two.
Run!
Shouted Gloria.
Hold on!
She gripped the wooden staff with a determined expression and mumbled something under her breath. As she completed her incantation, her hands glowed with a soft light.
Quick heal!
After uttering the command word, the light shot out towards her brother, enveloping him. However, it was not enough. Even if a low-leveled priestess like her could not mend that sort of injury with one cast, she could still buy time to get off another quick heal. Ron sputtered out blood. He felt reinvigorated by his sister's healing magic that restored a sizable chunk of his rapidly depleting vitality. He used that bit of strength to swing his sword arm downward, but couldn't put any real power behind the blow. With just gravity to assist it, his sword simply bounced off the mimic's solid teeth with a small clanking sound. You suffered a minor scratch. HP minus one. Having been attacked, the mimic broke out of the stupor it had been in. It knew about swords now. The knowledge that flooded into it from the skill was almost too much for its tiny mind to bear, so it took a while for the monster to adapt to it.
Quick heal!
Came a shout from the side. Its enemy had regained a bit of strength again and was about to attempt another strike. However, the mimic already had him in checkmate. It pulled on the sword with a bit of dexterity and, Instead of sliding it out of its fleshy sheath, it dragged its victim into the mimic's waiting maw.
No! Run!
Shrieked Gloria, her voice echoing in every direction of the dark passage. Her dearest older brother, that goofy but reliable guy, was now being eaten right in front of her. Blood and guts gushed out all over the place as his thrashing feet went limp.
You! You!
She screamed. She was outraged. That much was obvious. However, she was a newbie priestess and her offensive magic was practically non-existent. If her opponent was one of the undead, then she might be able to do something. Against this particular monster, though, she was helpless. Not that her mind could process that right now.
I'll kill you, piece of shit!
She was too busy screaming in grief and anger to do anything else. The mimic stopped chewing once it made sure its prey was good and dead. It spat the mangled corpse back out and readied its sword. The tiny legs at the bottom reappeared and it scuttled quickly towards the shrieking woman. It was over. Gloria had realized her folly entirely too late. She stared in abject horror as the massive teeth and flesh in front of her swung a bloodied weapon around. She somehow mustered enough strength to turn and run away, but was too slow. The mimic pierced through her chest from behind.
No! No! I don't! Please!
She struggled weakly, desperately begging for salvation. Such a thing wouldn't come, though. All that awaited her was despair and a large number of sharp teeth. Level up! Level up! Congratulations, you are now a level 4 mimic. All attributes plus 4. Proficiency level increased. Sword mastery is now level 2. Strength plus 2, dexterity plus 2. There it was again, that weird window. And now that the mimic had its intelligence and wisdom reach 5, it was finally able to understand. The window was telling the monster it had grown stronger. That was the extent of this revelation, though. Objectively speaking, this individual was already a genius compared to your average mimic. But in the end, that didn't amount to much. Even now, it was way too busy eating the remains of its latest victims to care about such things. After swallowing up the woman, licking up any spillage on the floor, and crushing her wooden staff in its teeth, it went back to the mangled male corpse and repeated the process. A few minutes later, the grisly scene was completely erased. All that could be seen in that oddly flat section of the dungeon tunnel was a simple wooden chest with the tip of an iron blade poking out from behind it. Part 3. The giant rat's head splattered against the rocky ground. Bits of brain and skull flew everywhere, staining the floors and walls of the Green Zone tunnel. Bogon grimaced at the pointless mess he had just made. Lifting his left foot, the short, muscular dwarf shook it a few times in a futile attempt to shake off the filth. He gave up and settled for scraping off the remains of the former rat from the sole of his armored boot. He sighed dejectedly. Even if he could kill the monsters by simply stepping on them, they were still a nuisance. After all, no matter how weak an opponent, washing off the blood and guts from his metal greaves took the same amount of time and effort. The same could be said for the rest of his full-plate steel armor, but at least the small creatures in this weak dungeon were only tall enough to stain his lower half. Bogon turned his head towards his human companion.
Look, Val, I'm telling you, this job's a waste of our time, he complained for the umpteenth time.
You're free to fuck off at any time, Bogon. You're the one who insisted on following me here,
she retorted. The black-haired, black-eyed woman was too busy inspecting the remains of 5 giant rats around them to pay attention to his whining.
Besides, she continued, it's not a waste if I can find the cause of all these disappearances.
I'll give you the cause. Bloody greenhorns don't know what the fuck they're doing in here. They get full of themselves and end up in some rat's belly.
It's not that simple. The mayor said they've lost more people in here in the last 2 months than they have in the last 2 years combined.
she answered without averting her gaze.
Something must have snuck in here. Something besides the sudden influx of mimics. If I find it, it'll do wonders for my... I want to do my part in helping the newbies grow.
Her eyes shone dangerously for a second before she tried to change her words. Bogan sighed again. That woman's eccentricities were always grinding his gears. If she wasn't a promising spellcaster, he never would have even bothered with her. But she was, and he needed her help for his next quest. He had hoped to dissuade her at first, but that hope was now rapidly deteriorating. After all, he just saw her true intentions shine through her facade. She obviously took this as more than a simple job. Bogan suspected she was hiding something ever since they teamed up 2 weeks ago. He had a pretty good idea what that something was. The muscle-bound dwarf was sharper than he looked. However, he also knew better than to poke his nose into this strange woman's personal business. A necromancer wasn't someone you want as an enemy.
"How can you be so sure it's not them mimics that showed up recently?"
he offered in desperation.
"The mimics here are young, so they're feeble," she explained. "Their HP is only about 20 or 30. One good hit from any offensive job and they'll be at death's door. A wizard or rogue would probably one-shot them with a bit of luck."
Once word got out that mimics started appearing here, the various adventurer guilds acted. They made a sincere effort to educate and caution their newcomers about the new threat. After some time, those monsters became less and less of a threat. In time, the threat was reduced to the point that they ended up more popular than the wooden chests they were attempting to imitate. People these days were honestly disheartened when the box they attacked turned out to be just regular wood. They needed to defeat monsters to raise their job levels, so an easy kill was way more welcome than a scrap of worthless loot. Most of the newbies even stopped looting the disappointing boxes entirely. A chest would disappear into dust soon after its treasures had been pilfered, so leaving it like that was a sign to others not to waste their time and effort on it. It was a sort of unwritten rule among them. In fact, one such example was in this very tunnel, right next to Bogan and Valeria. A simple, unassuming box, closer to a crate than a treasure chest, stood against a wall. The rounded wooden lid had been cracked and a long, straight dent was clearly visible on it. Someone had obviously already tested it with an axe or sword. Valeria, having finished her inspection, stood up and turned to her annoyed companion.
"These numbers go far beyond simple carelessness. At least 45 people have gone missing recently, most of them reportedly seen heading towards this area. Whatever's doing this is right here, and I'm going to find it. I'll be fine on my own once I get my familiars ready. So can you seriously fuck off? Now?"
"Fine, Val," said Bogan dejectedly. "You win. I'm going back to town. Hit me up once you're done, aight?"
"Pays good this time, right? I'm not working for peanuts again."
"You'll find out later," said Bogan
while pulling out a portal key. He gripped the fist-sized stone firmly, causing it to break and crumble to white dust. The dust swirled around him for about a second before there was a flash of blue light. The armored dwarf warrior was whisked back to the waystone outside the dungeon's entrance, leaving behind only a puff of white smoke.
"Finally!"
spat Valeria.
"What a jackass! Why'd he even come here if he was just going to complain? Now I can do what I came here to do."
Valeria grinned, a wide, crooked grin that sat wrongly on her lovely face. An unhinged gleam shone in her eyes as she cackled. Exhilaration filled her at the prospect of coming across a new type of low-leveled monster. To her, that was the most likely perpetrator of this disturbance. Probably something that lost its way and snuck in here looking for easy prey. Valeria could not wait to get her hands on it. She cackled for a solid minute before she was able to calm down. Her face quickly adapted the cool and collected facade she wore whenever people were around. She needed to be mindful of others. This was still a popular dungeon, so it was actually rather common to run into newbies who were still doing their first quests. Valeria had been one of those same newbies less than a month ago, but she stuck to a completely different part of the labyrinthine cave system. It wouldn't be a stretch to say that she got lucky. She straightened out the black apprentice robe she was wearing. It was a low-cut, short-sleeved, dress-like garment with a knee-length skirt. The edges of the skirt and the sleeves were decorated with black frills. Black leather bootlets with slightly raised heels led into fishnet stockings that continued up her pale legs, all the way to the lacy underwear hidden beneath her skirt. On the whole, this outfit was entirely mismatched with its name. It didn't look a single thing like the chaste robes one would expect a priest would wear. That was because the robe in the item's name simply referred to its magic-boosting attribute bonuses and effects, rather than the actual style of the garment. Truthfully speaking, the only thing that set Valeria apart from the prostitutes in the nearby town was the pointy, wide-brimmed hat and the faint stench of rotting flesh.
"Status!"
she chanted. A series of windows appeared at the forefront of her consciousness. She quickly verified the information. General information. Valeria Vortina. Human. Female. 21 years old. Member of the Order of the Black Wand. Level 16 Necromancer. Level 4 Monster Tamer. 178 out of 178 HP. Plus 0.3 per second. 429 out of 595 MP. Plus 1.1 per second. Attributes. Strength, 21. Dexterity, 10. Agility, 10. Endurance, 33. Intelligence, 119. Wisdom, 119. Mental fortitude, 43. Faith, negative 68. Charisma, 34. Necromancer skills. Necromancy, level 5. Hexcraft, level 4. Forbidden power, level 2. Monster tamer skills. Monster domination, level 2. Other skills. Taboo, level 4. Meditation, level 3. Staff mastery, level 1. Wand mastery, level 2. A necromancer with an overall level of 20. In a place where the average monster was lucky to reach level 3, she was unstoppable. Even with her pitiful physical attributes, she could still easily punch anything in here to death. This much was natural. Both jobs and skills would provide an attribute boost every time they went up in level. Training and raising these was the best way of raising combat power, although not the only one. It was also possible to train one's body and or mind to increase specific attributes, but it was not common practice. In the time it took for a warrior to gain strength plus one through the special action of physical training, he could just as easily have earned himself almost six times as much through level ups. The difference in efficiency was simply incomparable. However, anyone who looked at this status screen without knowing Valeria would be left scratching their head. To begin with, Monster Tamer was an odd choice of secondary job for a necromancer. The latter was famous for using waves of disposable undead, while the former revolved around painstakingly raising a small number of powerful pet monsters. There were merits and demerits to either approach, but they both amounted to the same thing: having something else fight one's battles. Logically speaking, an adventurer would pick a secondary job that either synergized with their main one or made them more versatile. Common sense dictated that this particular setup was a very poor one. The truth was that Valeria did, in fact, make a logical choice, albeit for very different reasons. The necromancer job, while well-suited to solo adventurers, also caused side effects like negative faith and a high proficiency level of taboo. This ostracized these adventurers from most religious societies, which meant they would end up shunned and despised by almost every single priest, monk, and paladin. Even the paganistic shamans and druids would avoid contact with these self-proclaimed lords of the dead. And something all these callings had in common was that they were healers, jobs that could instantly mend wounds and restore vitality through their magic. This meant that a necromancer never had a healer with them, which meant that the vast majority of other adventurers avoided them on principle. After all, nobody in their right mind was willing to risk their lives on grueling quests without the safety net of healing magic. In a way, necromancers were almost always forced down the road of solitude. But that was perfect for them. Their desires were almost entirely selfish anyway, not to mention the questionable and unethical rituals they would sometimes perform were bound to shock and disgust others. In a way, the necromancer job was perfect for Valeria as a person. The monster tamer job, on the other hand, was perfect for her secret hobby. After all, It was a simple fact that living monsters could do things that the rotting undead were ill-equipped to handle.
Maybe the cause is a random cave troll that wandered in?
Valeria shuddered at the possibilities. Her facade was quickly breaking down again.
Or maybe a werewolf. Either one of those would be perfect.
In truth, there were several ways of being saddled with negative faith and taboo. To Valeria, her necromancer job was an excellent way of explaining her status to people with a high-level appraisal skill. If questioned, she could simply put on a can't-be-helped sort of attitude and blow it over. In some ways, she was extremely fortunate the acts she committed did not put something truly damning on her status screen. Something like, for example, a monster breeder skill. Valeria desperately needed a new toy. Her last pet, a level 7 gray wolf, could not keep up with her demands and had simply expired. It was a good ride, so his owner found it a pity when the beast's life ran out from all the abuse. Just remembering those long nights was enough to drive her wet. She moaned softly. It had been too long since the last session. She leaned absent-mindedly against a wall and sheepishly snuck a few fingers into her damp panties. Two digits pressed against her sodden entrance, her lower lips quivering slightly in anticipation. She was in the middle of a dark dungeon where anyone could walk in on her. The excitement egged her on until she could no longer stand it. Her highly immoral fantasies ran wild. And just as she was imagining being penetrated, her dreams became reality. Critical damage sustained. HP minus 145. The overwhelming force of the blow has left you stunned for 5 seconds. A sword had punctured through the nape of her neck. The sudden thrust had driven the blade completely through her throat, leaving the bloodied tip poking out from underneath her chin. You are bleeding heavily from an open wound. HP minus 10. The entirely unremarkable and wholly non-magical lump of iron was pulled out of her, leaving a large vertical slit on her bloodied neck. She collapsed like a puppet with her strings cut and fell to the floor with a thud. You are bleeding heavily from an open wound. HP minus 10. Valeria sputtered blood from her mouth when her head hit the ground. Her mind was still reeling from the effects of the stun condition, unable to comprehend what was happening. You are bleeding heavily from an open wound. HP minus 10. She coughed weakly, her blood splattering against the cold stone floor. She could not even muster a scream before darkness overtook her vision. You are bleeding heavily from an open wound. HP minus 10. You are no longer stunned. You died. Part 4. Level up! Congratulations, you are now a level 15 mimic. All attributes plus 2. Proficiency level increased. Assassination is now level 4. Agility plus 2. Dexterity plus 1. Strength plus 1. Proficiency level increased. Stealth is now level 3. Agility plus 2. Dexterity plus 1. Endurance plus 1.
Hissa-sa-sa-sa!
The mimic let out as it did its traditional celebratory jig. The tiny legs moved its rectangular body rhythmically side to side, and the fleshy tendril of a tongue waved the bloody sword around to some unheard tune. It had just managed to fell a high-level opponent in a single strike. Truly an achievement worth celebrating. Valeria did not find the culprit behind all those disappearances. It had found her. 42 of the 45 reported missing persons were done in by the same monster. In these last 2 months, it had learned how to shift its appearance to match that of an already checked chest. Its prey would either ignore it and move on, or get greedy and approach. In the latter case, they would be stabbed and eaten. In the former scenario, they would be hunted down, stabbed, and eaten. This simple creature had found several devious ways to deceive and ultimately devour its victims. Truthfully, the difference in level meant that it could probably charge a group of 4 newbies and end their lives with no difficulty. However, such things went against its instincts, and those had never led it astray so far. A few minutes ago, when two strange-looking people entered its kill zone, those instincts screamed at the mimic, warning it that it was no match for either one of them. The short metal one felt particularly dangerous, so this would-be chest did the only thing it could. It focused every fiber of its being into cowering and hiding. But the troublesome dwarf left all on his own. The human lingered in the area and began acting strangely. She grew more and more distracted until she stopped and leaned against the wall, leaving the disguised mimic in her blind spot. Realizing its chance, the monster acted without hesitation. It crept toward her silently. The mimic's stealth skill allowed it to suppress its presence and lessen the sounds it made when it moved, although it drained its mana points, MP, unless it stood perfectly still. The agility attribute aided in this, as every point of agility meant smoother and nimbler movements of one's body as a whole. Once it had reached her defenseless back, it thrust a sword into an unarmored weak point, the back of her neck. Strength allowed the mimic to carry heavier loads and enhanced melee attacks, such as sword thrusts. Dexterity, on the other hand, governed how nimbly one could handle weapons and provided a power boost to piercing and thrusting attacks. Landing an attack on a vital point meant it would be at least 2 times stronger than it normally would have been. And last but not least, it was an attack from behind on an unsuspecting opponent. These conditions allowed the mimic to trigger its assassination skill, which overlapped with all other effects, boosting the overall power of that single strike threefold. The result was a devastating blow that exceeded 66% of Valeria's HP, forcing her into the stunned, abnormal state which robbed her of her wits. She then bled out the remainder of her HP on the ground, without the need for a follow-up attack. Truthfully, if the mimic had access to a better weapon, its prey would have died without ever realizing she had been ambushed. Feeling awfully proud of its mild accomplishment, the mimic stopped its little dance and used its tongue to fling the sword it had been holding into the air. The bloodied blade spun around several times before falling down towards the monster's open maw. A swirling dark purple portal opened up between its dagger-like teeth. The weapon disappeared into it without making a sound. The mimic closed the portal and its maw. Having lightened its load, the mimic proceeded to the next order of business.
"Status!"
it hissed. While it sounded only vaguely like status, some invisible force recognized the chant and brought up a series of windows to the forefront of the monster's consciousness. General information. Mimic, lesser. Genderless, 2 months old. Level 15 mimic. Plus. 246 out of 246 HP, plus 0.4 per second. 105 out of 170 MP, plus 0.3 per second. Attributes. Strength 41. Dexterity 44, Agility 34, Endurance 41, Intelligence 34, Wisdom 36. Mimic skills. Assassination, level 4. Storage, level 2. Other skills. Shapeshift, level 2. Stealth, level 3. Sword mastery, level 4. The creature felt elated when it saw the plus sign visible next to the mimic entry in the job section. That signified one thing: that the monster could unlock another restricted skill. Something like this happened twice before. The first time was at level 5 when it chose the assassination skill, which allowed the creature to dispatch even heavily armored adventurers with ease. The second time was when the monster became a level 10 mimic, at which point it chose to unlock the storage skill. This gave the monster knowledge of how to open and sustain a small window into a pocket dimension. This limited space could be used to store any and all items that were small enough to fit through the portal. Accessing this storage demanded the use of magic, but such a thing wasn't quite free. The mimic's mana points, or MP, were consumed every time it withdrew or deposited an item. And yes, this simple creature did indeed have things it wanted to keep safe. Or rather, things it needed to keep out of sight. After all, it had to keep its lair clean and unassuming if it was to deceive people. And while arms and armor made out of chainmail, leather, or wood were no match for its teeth, solid iron was beyond its limits. As a result, the monster's storage was currently holding a collection of swords, axes, shields, helmets, greaves, bracers, and other inedible equipment. It was essentially using an alternate dimension as an overqualified garbage bin. It did try to eat a sword, though. Once. Such an act broke a few teeth and cut apart the insides of its maw, causing its health points, or HP, to decrease. And HP was a vital thing. If it hit zero, the mimic would die. Just like the 42... No, make that 43 people it had killed. The mimic understood its maximum HP rose alongside its endurance and strength. If it wasn't such an idiot, it would probably notice that its maximum HP went up by 5 with each point of endurance and a further 1 for each point of strength. Similarly, maximum MP would rise by 5 per point of intelligence, while endurance and wisdom would boost automatic recovery of HP and MP, respectively, at a rate of 0.1 HP or MP per 10 points of endurance or wisdom. As for the other skills, they came about naturally. Sword mastery was the first skill the mimic ever learned, almost by accident. Stealth came about naturally as the monster put its assassination skill to practical use. Those two were common skills that any job could learn through practice, although whether they would be useful is another question entirely. Shapeshift, on the other hand, was something the mimic was born with. A natural skill. And now, 5 levels after attaining storage, it was time for another delicious skill. To do that, it had to open another screen in its mind. And to do that, it had to chant the command words. Fortunately for the speaking-impaired monster, it seemed that intent was more important than proper pronunciation when it came to these things.
Skishish. Shishik.
It hissed again, spitting all over the place in the process. Even if it wasn't saying the words right, it still had to say them out loud. It had no idea why it had to do that. Nor did it particularly care. It just accepted it as the way things were and moved on with its life. Skill list. Mimic. Unlocked skills. Assassination. Storage. Available skills. Natural armor. Misdirection. Cadaver absorption. You can unlock 1 additional restricted skill from this job. Just like the last 2 times, it had a few choices to pick from. And just like at level 10, some new options had appeared. Although it recognized which skills were left over and which ones were new, the monster still decided to give everything in the list a once-over. Even though its mental boosting attributes had been steadily climbing, it still did not trust its own memory too much. It was also possible that something might have changed the last time it was here. Any decisions made here seemed to be permanent, so it was important to be prudent. A special action has been performed. Wisdom plus 1. It took the attribute increase as confirmation for its rather obvious deductions. After all, such leaps of logic were truly phenomenal for a mimic, and this one knew full well it was a dumbass. Even if intelligence improved its memory capacity and wisdom helped the creature put its limited knowledge to use, it still had very little to begin with. Saying it didn't have 2 brain cells to rub together would not be entirely untrue. The monster focused its barely functional mind on the first available skill on the list. After a few seconds, a new window popped up into its mind. Natural armor. Monsters are known for their tough hides that can shrug off anything and everything. Requirements. Level 5 monster job. Endurance 10. Type, passive. Range, self. Effects. Reduces all incoming damage by 1% per level of this skill. Provides an additional +2 endurance per level of this skill. This skill was available the first 2 times as well. While it did look useful in a pinch, it had some unpleasant strings attached. To level up a skill, the mimic had to raise its proficiency by putting that skill to practical use. And the practical use of natural armor obviously involved getting hit. A lot. That was not, however, how the simplistic mimic understood things. It simply deduced this skill would not help it ambush its opponents like assassination and sword mastery, nor was it useful in maintaining its cover like stealth and storage. So it was promptly ignored for the 3rd time in a row. The mimic then moved on to the next skill on the list. Misdirection. Allows the assassin to create a small noise at a target location. Requirements. Assassination. Stealth. Dexterity, 40. Type. Active. Area. Activation time, instant. Cost, 50 MP. Range, 15 meters. Effects. Create a small noise with the purpose of attracting attention. The MP cost, range, and types of noises available improve with each level of this skill. As expected, this skill was not available before. Just like the previous one, the mimic failed to see how it could be useful. In fact, wouldn't making a noise out of nowhere put its prey on high alert? Surely, doing such a thing was going to cause more problems than solutions. It seemed to go completely against what the mimic was trying to do in the first place. Hmm? Strategy? What's that? Does it taste good? The mimic quickly dismissed this skill and moved on to the next one. Cadaver absorption. Allows the mimic to absorb residual knowledge and power from the remains of its prey. Requirements. Level 15 mimic. Wisdom 30. Intelligence 30. Has devoured at least 30 of the same species. Type. Active. Corpse targeted. Activation time. 2 seconds. Cost. 150 MP. Range. 2 meters. Effects. A portion of the target's attributes, skill proficiency, or job levels will be permanently added to the mimic status. What is absorbed is random. This skill can fail. Success rate depends on the level of this skill and the strength of the luck attribute. The amount of knowledge or power absorbed increases with each level of the shapeshift skill. The monster strained its tiny mind to comprehend the complexity of this skill. Eventually, it reached a simple conclusion. It was a skill that allowed the mimic to get stronger by eating things. It liked getting stronger, and it was always eating things anyway. It certainly sounded good. At least, better than those other two trash-tier skills. Having made its choice, the mimic let out a series of hisses and gurgles that were loosely interpreted as unlock skill, cadaver absorption. A flash of light briefly enveloped the animate wooden chest, flooding it with the knowledge of how to use its new acquisition. The luck attribute has been created through a special action. Luck plus one. Proficiency level increased. Cadaver absorption is now level one. All attributes plus one. The mimic felt a little disappointed. Only a plus one. All the other skills gave a total of plus four. So why was this one being stingy? Still, its choice had already been made. Complaining about it now would be meaningless. Not that there was anyone around who would listen to such a complaint in the first place. Shrugging its non-existent shoulders, the mimic turned its attention to the bloodied corpse in front of it. These were the remains of a high-leveled adventurer, a prize that was hard to come by in these parts. The mimic would surely want to use cadaver absorption on this body. But while doing so now might give it an immediate power boost, wouldn't it be wiser to put it in storage and save it for later? If its attributes and shapeshift level went up, then it would have a better chance of getting something useful out of this rare opportunity. It was a dilemma, one that would stump most people. Should they try to gain power now, or put it off so they could stack the odds in their favor? While aiming for a better chance was attractive, it might still turn out to be a colossal waste of time. Not to mention that whether they lived long enough to take advantage of that time investment was another question entirely. It was difficult to find the right answer, and every person would have their own opinion on the matter. Well, the one who was making this decision wasn't really a person. It was a simple creature which immediately made its choice. Or rather, it completely failed to realize there was even a choice to begin with. Even if the faux chest was significantly smarter when compared to others of its kind, it was still a mimic. In the grand scheme of things, it was still a moron. And, being the moron that it was, it neglected to activate cadaver absorption beforehand. Part 5. A rhythmic smacking noise echoed through the dungeon. It was the sound of wood being slammed against stone. The cause of this disturbance was an idiotic box that had just realized its mistake. The mimic swayed furiously on its numerous tiny legs and smashed its side into the rock wall for the umpteenth time. You have suffered minor blunt trauma. HP minus 2. The familiar message had been repeating itself intermittently over the last 10 minutes. The moron in question was punishing itself for being overly eager. Just when things were getting good, it had let an amazing chance slip away. Surely, even a single one of that necromancer's skills or jobs would have given it a tremendous power boost. It yelled, and smashed itself against the wall with a bit of extra force. You have suffered minor blunt trauma, HP minus 5. Enough was enough. This behavior was getting it nowhere while wasting valuable HP. It calmed itself down and began cleaning up the mess like usual. It didn't bother with the numerous giant rat corpses, though. Those were already crumbling to dust. Another few minutes and they would return to the dungeon that spawned them. After its lair had been returned to its former unsoiled glory, it scuttled back to its spot and resumed its disguise as a wounded wooden chest. And it waited. Hours turned to days, and days turned to weeks. The mimic patiently stood there without moving a single muscle. It didn't mind, though. It was pretty much born for this sort of thing. But every living being had a limit to how long it can sit around and do absolutely nothing. You are hungry. Automatic HP and MP recovery are now halved. Something inside the mimic growled. Its bottomless pit of a stomach was running on empty. The most primal need to eat and survive clashed with the mimic's natural hunting instinct. Should it abide by its hider's intuition or follow the impulse to seek prey immediately? This was an important decision for this creature. After all, it had never ventured more than a dozen or so meters from its birthplace. Having made up what passed for its mind, it sprouted its numerous tiny legs and lifted itself off the ground. Lunch was unlikely to come on its own, so it would go find it instead. It scuttled sideways towards the direction most of its prey had come from. However, it paused when it reached the edge of the unnaturally smooth and even ground found around its birthplace. It had tried to walk further once before, only to have jagged rocks and pebbles poke and scrape its sensitive underside. It was not a pleasant sensation. Therefore, its current mode of transportation would need to be revised. The mimic put its shapeshift skill to use. It could change the structure of its body to a certain degree, but its species, that of mimic, lesser, could not completely abandon its original box-like shape. What it could do, however, was alter the other bits of its body. It sat on the ground and retracted its tiny limbs. After a short while, 6 long, smooth, spider-like legs grew out steadily from its sides. While it may not have been able to shift its body as freely as something like a slime or mud elemental, it did have a natural talent for imitating things. After all, mimics got a mimic. And in this situation, it was copying the appearance of a small spider that made its nest directly above the mimic's resting spot. Having literally nothing better to do over the last 2 weeks, the monster simply observed the tiny arachnid with its magical perception. The way its multi-jointed legs climbed up the wall and walked along its thread was thoroughly entertaining, so it ended up memorizing quite a few of those movements. And now would be the time to put that knowledge to use. It tried to stand up on its new legs and failed miserably. The stick-like legs were too weak and too long to lift the faux wood body. After readjusting their thickness and length several times, it finally found the right balance and stood upright. The spider chest then made a few experimental steps. However, keeping itself from falling over proved to be tricky. Having the legs come out at the sides made the monster worryingly unsteady whenever it moved forward or backwards. It had to learn how to distribute its weight and control its center of gravity for the first time. Eventually, it simply found it easier to change where the legs came out from. Rather than all 6 coming out from its sides, it spread them out evenly. One on the left, one on the right, 2 in the front, 2 in the back. Like this, it could move quickly and comfortably across any terrain the dungeon threw at it. It could even get quite a bit of speed, although stopping itself without the help of a wall or the floor proved to be a challenge. Proficiency level increased. Shapeshift is now level 3. Agility plus 1. Dexterity plus 1. Endurance plus 2. The mimic had no time to enjoy the slight power-up. Time was ticking. Screwing up its determination, it took its first steps into the complete unknown. Its perception had no trouble penetrating the dark, but the range was limited. So the mimic could only move slowly and quietly, keeping as low to the ground as possible without scraping its sensitive bottom against the hard surface. Ideally, it would have used stealth, but moving around under its effects steadily drained MP. That wasn't something it was willing to do, considering its stunted recovery speed. It shuffled up and down the tunnels, passing by its fellow monsters. They were all born from the same womb, and thus shared a slight telepathic connection with each other. They were not hunter and prey, but kin. So, rather than get in each other's way, the different species of monsters simply exchanged curt greeting-like gestures as they walked past each other. The mimic kept searching the tunnels, actively hunting for prey. But it never found any. In fact, all this moving around simply made things worse. You are ravenous. Automatic HP and MP recovery are now disabled. While waiting in ambush, mimics entered a sort of suspended animation. This not only allowed them to better preserve their energy and stamina, it also meant their presence was thinned out. So having a shut-in like that suddenly move around would make it tired without question. The frustrated monster had every right to wonder why it had to go through all this hassle just for a meal. In reality, this sequence of events was more or less the natural order of things.